This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name's Ian Murph. I'm here with Bharath Gowda, who is VP of Product Marketing at Databricks.
Thanks, Ian. Nice to chat with you again. I've been with Databricks for almost 3 years now, and I lead the product marketing function here.
You made a couple of announcements recently, one of which in particular is about how do we ingest all this disparate data into our data lakes so we can start to make sense of it. Can you give some more context about that?
Definitely. This particular launch is called the Databricks Ingest launch. Let me give you a little bit of market context. Most enterprises today are trying to unlock value from their data, and this data is scattered all over the place. And when they think about unlocking value, they want to be able to do analytics on all their data. They want to be able to use these data sets to do data science as well as machine learning. But the path towards data science and machine learning and all this analytics is a rather complicated, long journey for them to get there. And the number one challenge that they face is data. Where is the data? Can I get my hands on the right kinds of data sets? How performant is it? How reliable is my data? What we're doing with this particular launch is enabling our customers to bring in data sets from different parts of the enterprise. It could be mainframe applications, it could be modern SaaS applications like Salesforce, NetSuite, or it could be different kinds of databases or file systems. Irrespective of what data it is, we are making it really easy for them to bring it in to the data lake within Databricks. And we're doing that with a combination of technology partners. And I can go into who those technology partners are as well as how we're doing it.
One of the challenges we've always had when we brought lots of different data sets in is actually making sense of it once we've got it in there. It's not that we don't have data, it's that we really don't know what it relates to. The same field name might appear in 5 data sets, but actually be different types of data. How are you solving that matching problem of data?
That's a great question, Ian. What you basically explained now has been the fundamental challenge with most data lakes out there. Data lakes are really awesome when it comes to storing lots of data, but they come with zero context. There is no schema, so anybody can load up these data lakes and you just don't know what you have, which is why most people refer to the data lakes as data swamps. What we did with Delta Lake is that we brought in the best capabilities of existing data lakes, but we married that with more and more of the capabilities that you expect in traditional data warehouses. Delta Lake is an open source, open format technology that runs on top of blob storage. You have significant scale efficiencies, and you can scale as much as you want in the cloud. And then what we did was we addressed some of the fundamental challenges with data lakes by bringing in things like schema enforcement. So when you are loading data into Delta Lake, you can have a predefined schema. And what that means is that when you have a schema, you control what data goes into the Delta Lake. And if it doesn't match that particular schema, then it gets rejected. It gets quarantined, then you've got to transform the data and then bring it back in. Not only that, but when you work with really large data sets, you have to build pipelines. People are streaming data into, data lakes. They're bringing in data from lots of different batch jobs. The data platform teams spend a lot of time building these complex and usually fragile pipelines. And the reason why they're fragile is because of the complexity of big data. But each time these pipelines fail, they leave the data in a corrupt state. So what we did was we brought in ACID transactions to Delta Lake. So what that means is that your data is never left in a corrupt state. Either your job completes fully or it gets rejected. When it gets rejected, you basically read on the job. We're giving all these controls so that people can begin to manage the data that is going into Delta Lake as well as manage the data that's already in Delta Lake. One quick point there. More and more of the data that is in data lakes also needs to be governed. You should have the ability to actually manage the data in the context of doing updates to the data, as well as deleting certain specific records. So we can do that with Delta Lake because we completely support the data manipulation capabilities that you traditionally expect in a data warehouse, which is super awesome for GDPR-like use cases.
One of the challenges during the ingestion that we've had is quality of data. I've done work with a number of the credit agencies. They now have built their own teams to help customers clean up data. And what's interesting is there's a lot of customers out there who are happy with data that's only about 50% clean. And that might be data where there's missing items in fields. It might be data where the fields are incomplete because they started out as a duplicate because somebody couldn't find the original. Then they found it, then they went back. But when people start to bring it into bigger and bigger data sets, if that's 10% dirty coming in, there's a pollution issue. How much concern are you hearing from customers that they need that data cleansing operation at the start of the ingestion?
That's again a very, very insightful question. To us, the data platform teams, the folks who actually understand and govern the data, these people are like core to the success of BI and data science machine learning initiatives within companies. These people usually have a really good sense of what is the value of data. They also understand the business well enough to begin to understand how these data sets can be used. When we look at the ingestion process as well as the transformation process, most data is going to be dirty. It has to be cleaned. And the cleaning process is a multi-tier process. So most of our customers follow this process of creating multiple Delta Lake big tables are actually connected with each other. They usually call this paradigm bronze, silver, gold. And as they make the progression from ingesting all kinds of data sets to gold data set, there's a real clear definition as to what is in gold and how it is going to get used. And in each step of the way, there are pipelines that are written. Typically, bronze is where all the raw data lands, which is very, very noisy, missing attributes and things like that. And from bronze, they begin to aggregate and augment the data sets and correlate these different things into silver tables. And then from silver tables, they begin to add up counts and do summaries of things. And those are tables that are usually driven for more of the BI use cases. The silver tables are where you expect more of the raw data, but it's reasonably clean form, which is where a lot of the data science and machine learning happens.
How much is this changing how marketing teams engage? Because in most organizations, the biggest users of data are marketing teams. They're trying to make sense of data so they can run a campaign. They want to augment that data so they can be more accurate with the campaign, which means bringing in a lot of external data that is continually changing. Do you find that at the silver level with the pipelines, you've got a set of developers who are constantly building new pipelines, adjusting pipelines, and then adding elements into pipelines that aren't there in the base solution? Or are people looking for full turnkey ingestion?
The data platforms of today that are actually a competitive edge within these companies have to be super agile and responsive to the business needs. There are newer data sets coming in, and there are also newer challenges that these companies need to conquer. So on both sides of the equation, there is reason for these folks to be super agile. And based on the problem that they're trying to solve, for instance, they aggregate different kinds of data sets and actually provide that data set to a particular team. This is not only true with the marketing department, it's also true with the product departments. Even when it comes to some of the manufacturing companies that we serve, they're trying to operationalize and gain more insights into their supply chain, begin to predict faults when it comes to the quality of the manufacturing process in big pharma companies. Retailers are also using similar data sets to figure out what is the leakage when it comes to goods that they're actually producing and demand for these goods.
Security are rarely involved when it comes to ingesting data, but we're seeing compliance now getting involved because we have privacy issues we need to worry. When we start to talk about dirty data and we start to talk about faults coming in data, and we start to talk about data coming from multiple sources, potentially multiple states, countries, continents, there's a real need now for security to be part of that. Pipelines screams there's an opportunity for them. But is that actually happening on the ground, or are we still at those early stages of people seeing an opportunity but not quite using it within the data ingest process?
We serve some of the largest companies in the world. These companies are trying to build a data platform in the cloud. They do not want to repeat the mistakes they did in the on-prem world. So they're very, very conscious of things like scale, reliability, as well as security. So from day one, we're involved with these customers within their security departments. The CISOs get involved really early in the context of how data is stored, who has access to these different data sets, how are the clusters managed, the different workspaces, and what kinds of levels of security we have. Because our customers are using Databricks not across one business unit, but across multiple business units. We have thousands and thousands of users. If the core data set of the enterprise is in Delta Lake, it has to have the governance and security controls that you need to manage this thing at scale. So those things are primary early discussions that we have with our customers. We have built security into Databricks, and we're also deeply connected within the cloud ecosystem, be it Azure or AWS. We work closely with those native services to ensure it is completely transparent, fully integrated.
How complicated is it for you to build the basis of a compliance element into the data ingest process? And I ask that question because if I look around the world at the moment, we have probably 8 or 9 really powerful data privacy laws in different countries, Singapore to Europe, even here to California. All of them differ. All of them add different layers of complexity. A company doesn't want to have to write its own compliance system, but it does have to take responsibility for the rules. But it needs on that a foundation. So what have you put in place to enable them to do that easily?
One of the core premises that we have at Databricks is we want to build an open system with open APIs. So a lot of the controls that, for instance, GDPR talks about, you know, we have all these different data subject requests, which means that we should be able to go in and find out who used this data and for what purpose. And you also need to let the end consumer know how your data was used, and you have to give them the right to actually update or actually delete the data set, which to us means that you need to have all the different abilities to manage and govern that data. Because our APIs are open and the format is open, people can go in and update the data and change the data any which way they want. Today, with Delta Lake, it works with Spark APIs really well, but more and more you will see us working with Presto and a whole host of other engines because we want to create an open ecosystem which is easy for people to manage and run.
Earlier, before we started, you were talking about Lakehouse. How does that play into all of this?
We've been in the machine learning space for 8-9 years now. Being the creators of Apache Spark, we've continued to build on the big data ecosystem and make it really easy for companies to really get more value from their data sets. But if you look back a little bit, in the 1980s, you had traditional data warehouses, which did a phenomenal job of business reporting. There were a known set of questions that every business needed to answer, and there was a set of data that would help them answer those questions. They did that really well. In the last 10, 15 years, big data has taken hold, and companies have begun to collect a lot of data and store them efficiently, but they're still trying to figure out what is the value in these different data sets. The hope was that someday we'll do a lot of data science and machine learning, and that someday has actually come now. In the last few years, especially, given the growth of the cloud ecosystem, as well as ease in which the machine learning frameworks can be deployed, there are more and more companies who are actually getting lots and lots of business value from bringing these machine learning models into production. So now customers are asking themselves as to what is my data architecture? Their data warehouse were great for BI, but that cannot be my data strategy. In the cloud, they've been very, very conscious in building out a data strategy that's actually future-proof as well as open. So what we're seeing is that there's some traditional challenges with data lakes. There was very limited schema enforcement. The quality of data was very poor, as well as the performance was an afterthought. So we see this convergence in the market today, that more and more of the data warehouses are beginning to bring in other big data sets into their realm. And the lakes are actually making a lot of headway in bringing in the data warehouse capabilities. And we have done that too with our Delta Lake capabilities. Delta Lake, traditionally, people think of it as a data lake. It is, but it is augmented significantly by bringing in performance capabilities as well as quality attributes that I spoke about earlier, like asset transactions and schema enforcement. This lakehouse construct, it's not a product. It's a new paradigm that companies are beginning to expect from the marketplace, wherein they want to have a simple way in which they can manage data and store data and power all their different kinds of analytics as well as machine learning. To make that paradigm feasible, what we are doing is that as part of this launch, we're enabling companies to bring in their different data sets into Databricks Delta, very simple manner.
Bringing stuff in a very simple manner is something every vendor promises. What's different between your simple and an end user who sits there and goes, this is supposed to be simple. Why don't I understand it?
Two things. The first thing is bringing data into a particular system is hard. It is hard because the data itself is in multiple places. So you have to understand your source systems really well. And the source systems are not like 5 or 10 systems, they're hundreds of systems. What we have done is that as part of this ingest launch, we are announcing our first 5 partners. There will be more within this ecosystem. And we want to give our customers choice. So there are different integration partners that do different things well. So for instance, Fivetran does a fantastic job of working with SaaS companies. Qlik does a really good job working with ERP applications like SAP. SyncSort does a fantastic job of bringing in mainframe data. StreamSets brings in data from a lot of the different IoT systems. So they all have their different strengths. What we are doing is, if you have already bought one of the solutions or you have made investments in one of the solutions, you can basically use those solutions. They understand the end data sources, they understand the APIs, and now you can just go into the user interface and point to a Delta Lake sync, which is basically your blob storage with the Delta Lake metadata, and now you can actually feed the data set from your source into Delta Lake. And all these tools have controls with respect to what tables you want to bring, what is the schema, do you want to bring in all the tables, do you want to bring in only a subset of the tables, what rows and columns you want to bring, and they can configure all that. The reason why we're doing these things with a lot of integration partners is that we want to lower the bar. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to actually write these complex data pipelines and manage these things. But we also understand that some companies have invested because they have a really, really complex set of data and they've invested in data engineering teams. These are people who understand big data and Spark and all that. For them, what we've done is we've also made their lives a lot simpler. So we're launching this thing called Autoloader, which really makes it easy for data engineering teams to point to an S3 bucket or an Azure Data Lake storage bucket and basically automatically push that data into Delta Lake. So the key thing that we're doing there is that the data, when it lands into the Delta Lake, it begins to have the attributes of quality as well as performance right from the get-go.
But that makes an assumption that organizations have people who have that level of skill. If we look around a lot of organizations, the focus is still far too much on doing analytics work. The DBAs have kind of been left behind in part of the data science conversation, and the data scientists are all busy trying to build machine learning solutions. At what point do you start to see some form of artificial intelligent assistant or some form of machine learning solution where I simply say, that data set over there and that data lake over there, what I want you to do is to go through the two of them, match up the data and suck across the data because this is what I want to find out. That takes out the human element and it speeds the process up. Is that a reasonable place to get to?
Most of the companies that we work with, they have really good data platform teams that are doing the job today. The challenge with data is it is not easy to apply machine learning to this data to really understand these things, because to do machine learning, you need to have a labeled data set. You need to understand what you have, and that understanding doesn't exist. The hardest part about machine learning is the data piece. Companies that have gone through this journey where they thought there was an easy button for data science and machine learning, they have failed, and they've realized that they have to invest in the data platform and making sure that the data is ready for meaningful machine learning. And that's where we're seeing successes within companies that we work with.
If I look at using context within machine learning, it's the only way to really understand what's going on. Where is the word used? What does it mean? How is it used? That's fine if all the words I'm looking at are words I know. When we start to get into specific industries like law, oil and gas, even technology, we all have our own speak within that. How far can a solution go to enable people to build their own routines, their own systems that actually understand what those words are, their own ontologies, for want of a better phrase, to make that ingestion, that context creation, and therefore the machine learning phase, much smoother and much easier?
We have a customer called Riot Games, big gaming company. They have some of their games are used by hundreds of millions of users on a daily basis. They had this unique challenge of monitoring for bad actors within these games, people who are actually bullying other players and things like that. And most of that usually happens by a very small percentage of people, and they don't even do that often. It just depends on how their day is going or whatever, and they basically have to vent out. And when you think about their games, these are global games, and people are using multiple languages. They're using lots of different languages and actually come up with their own languages also to communicate and say nasty things to each other. So what Riot Games did was they used our platform to build some deep learning models to really begin to identify this bad behavior and root it out within the systems. But they had a huge amount of data set. They had the ability to go back and actually test these things as to, you know, when this happens, that happens. Those kinds of things don't exist with data today. When you bring in all these different data sets into one place or into multiple places, the metadata around these things aren't strong enough. There will be more advances that happen in this era, but I think it's still got some ways to go to actually solve these problems.
How do you add that metadata piece to ingest? Because at the point where we're ingesting data, we actually know something about the data to start with. Is there a way during that process, in the same way as, let's say, we tag an HTML page, to actually begin to tag data during the ingestion to speed that up?
Yes. As part of what Delta Lake does within its format, it actually captures a lot of the metadata. And this metadata is not only about the different elements of the data, but also with respect to the performance. So it actually tracks both those things, which is what allows us to store the data in a manner that is quickly accessible. And it also begins to bring in context for somebody who's searching for the data to actually know what is in this data set.
If we look forward to many of the companies you're dealing with, what size of data sets are your customers using? And then, given that we're told how fast data is growing, where do you see the upper limit for companies in terms of what they can realistically begin to manage themselves, and where they have to hand a lot of the management and control over to some form of AI / machine learning system?
That's a hard question to answer, because it actually varies across industries and varies across the company's competency. But what we're seeing is that more and more companies are beginning to understand that they have to build a data competency. A data competency is predicated on business objectives. If they don't do that, this creates an existential threat for them. We see lots of companies across media, retail, manufacturing. All these guys are basically trying to figure out how they can remain competitive in the context of digital native companies. And they see the cloud as a huge opportunity. This is where, number one, Amazon has done a fantastic job of getting to the developers. But you see that Azure is making significant inroads into the enterprise market. A lot of that is happening in Asia as well as Europe. What Azure has done really well is marry the concerns that senior leaders have around governance and things like that, but bring that together with some of the data competencies as well as machine learning capabilities. So they're reducing the bar while making sure that things are highly secure and things like that. Companies today are making massive investments that will help them not just for the next year or 2 years, but for the next 5, 10, 15 years. And in that context, there is a lot of investment not only in the context of technology, but people and best practices. I'll give you an example of Comcast. Comcast, just for one use case, which is the remote control They have a voice-powered remote control, and they're using Databricks for that. They process petabytes of data every day to figure out exactly what the recommendation should be when a person issues a particular voice command. They have a pretty big department of data engineers, as well as an AI team, which does data science and machine learning. And it's a fast-growing team, and the volumes of data under their control is growing every year in massive proportions. And I can say the same thing about some major pharma companies that we serve, major retailers that we serve. To them, it's not about what the upper bound is, but how can they begin to create a competency where they can function as a data team? The data engineers, data scientists, the analysts, this entire group of people, how can they work out of one data platform and actually create value from it?
But how do we achieve that level of data competency? If we look at security as a parallel challenge, we've talked for at least a decade about how we need to educate everybody in the business to understand security, how security is everybody's problem. Well, the same is true of data and always has been true of data. Data is everybody's problem. If you're inputting data into a system or you're maintaining data, it is your responsibility to make sure it's right. Yet we see a remarkable lack of competency around a lot of organizations out there. Where do we get the training from? How do we find the time to train people, given the pressures on security and everything else? And should we be pushing this down to schools? Should schools start with this level of conversation? They've started the security conversation already.
They definitely should. What we are trying to do as a steward of the open source community is to make it really easy for people to use some of these technologies. Now, Spark has become the de facto standard for big data processing. We hope someday Delta Lake becomes a standard for building data lakes. We are doing a lot of work to actually bring in Delta Lake really early to the classrooms. And we will continue to do that. This is why our Spark and AI Summit, that we have two of these things, one in North America and one in Europe, it's growing in attendance every year. The biggest reason why people come there is to talk to their peers and learn about the technology and get trained on some of the best practices. The demand is growing, and we're just rising to serve it.
Bharath, thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you very much, Ian. It was nice chatting with you.